Let's listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey, Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Well, what an interesting conundrum. A hypothetical, if you will. If it meant that coronavirus would be over and the Great Reset, like nothing else would have ever happened in the past. But on the sole proviso that Jeff Bezos, owner and creator of Amazon, had to eat the Mona Lisa fresh out of the Louvre. Would we force him to do it? Would we tie him down and force feed him the painting? I'd like to hope we would. Sometimes you have to sacrifice the richest man in the world for the rest of us to move on. We also spoke about the great phrases, like we do every Phrase Tuesday. Oh, there are a few doozies. A few doozies, if you will. And we talked about the company that has come up with the genius idea of creating jeans that make it look like you pissed yourself. But first things first, the search for Australia's best made Milo stirs up the nation. Oh yeah, we're stirred up fine. We've been whipped into a frenzy, we have. Australian comedian and longtime Milo lover Dave Hughes has announced the search for Australia's best made Milo, calling on fans to share their creations for the opportunity to win the Milo Cup. Haven't had a Milo for a while myself, and I must hold myself more accountable to my Milo consumption. Back in the day, every night before bed, a nice low GI, slow burning, sugary chocolate drink to send me off into the land of Nod. Oh yeah, nice cold glass of Milo and milk, please, just before I go to bed. My mum gave me Milo, much like the advertisement suggested.
My mum gives me Milo.
So true.
To go and go and go.
Yeah, and her mum.
My mum gave me Milo to go and
it's
go.
The family
and
tree.
Go. And my mum gave me Milo to go and go.
I bet
and
she
go.
Did.
Nutritious energy, low GI. Glasses 100% RDI of calcium, vitamin C, and B1. Nutritious energy for everyone. And my mum gave me Milo.
Oh. Gran, you old bastard, you messed up the skipping rope game. Kicking off the contest by sharing how he has Milo, Hughesy challenges Aussies to beat his creation. Now, this is quite interesting from Hughesy. I believe he's a vegan these days, and he's really added a vegan tinge to his Milo.
The best way is soy milk and a pinch of salt. Mmm, that's my recipe. What's yours?
So he's really getting into it. He's really staring down the barrel and he's pushing the cause for his plant-based Milo mixed with soy milk finished with a pinch of salt.
Mmm.
Now, whether you add your Milo first or last, like your milk hot or cold, or even if you season it with herbs and spices, says this press release, Milo wants to know what the best Milo is. Are they clutching at straws a little here? And call me a naysayer, call me a bit of a pessimist, but I feel there was just the two ways to have Milo. You're a hot Milo person, or you're basically a kid who likes cold Milo. You put too much Milo in the top, you choke on a little bit of powder, and you go to sleep. I think Hughesy may be the only person who's had a third option of Milo with his little salt creation. In fact, I wouldn't even be surprised if Milo just said, hey, Hughesy, can you just say that you like Milo with soy milk and, I don't know, salt, and just look into the camera for us, please?
Mm.
I mean, we'll pay you as much as Samboy did back in the day.
When chips were chips.
Can you just do that for us? And Hughesy said, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. I mean, anything for Milo. Yeah, I just wonder, on 133353, are there other options for Milo? How do you do your Milo? Did your mum give you Milo to go and go and go and then chuck in a couple of extra pieces of seasoning and whatnot? Do we have Milo creations out there? I just worry for Milo and the campaign itself. If it's going to come crashing down like a house of cards. You've got Hughesy giving the third option. People are just scratching their heads going, well, I don't know. Don't know how I do my Milo. Just everyone else did their Milo. What chance do I have of winning the Milo Cup? The phones have boiled off the hook. They're about to go bust. 133353, Cal in Norman Park. Your mum gave you Milo, no doubt, to go and go and go.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good. How do you do your Milo?
Mate, tell you what, I didn't even know it was a thing until my mum showed me.
Ooh.
What you do is, so you get your cup, probably, what, 6 tablespoons of Milo?
Sure.
And then just a dash of milk, stir it around so it turns into this gelatinous ball of goodness.
Ooh.
And then you just top it up with milk, and then add a bit more Milo in the top just to, you know, get the actual Milo mixed in. And then you end up with this giant, like, ball of Milo. It's just the greatest thing I've ever had.
Wow. So you flip the ratios on its head. Too often we're seeing 6 parts milk, 1 part Milo. Responsible motherhood. And no, not too much before bed. You won't sleep, Sebastian. And your mum's just gone full and flipped the script. All of a sudden you've got this great ball, which sounds very good. It's like a milky chocolate spider of sorts. You're then back to plan A with the generous dollops of Milo and liberal lashings of milk. And you have the big ball. Does it sink or does it float to the top?
It sinks. Yeah, it sinks.
Great Milo sinkers. Nice.
No, it's good, man.
Right, sounds very good. And I reckon you should put this in the hashtag Milo Cup campaign because this sounds like a goer, to be honest. I think you replicate that in a textual form I can only assume www.milo.com.au. Oh, no, www.nestlepromotions.com.au/Milo Cup. So put it on there and you'll be in with a chance. Dave has called in. Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Lakey, it's Hughie.
Oh, hi, Hughie.
You're talking about my Milo. Thought I'd give you a call. Good to be here.
Yep, good.
Why are you being so cold to Hughie? Is it because I didn't come on your podcast?
Yes.
Even though I said I would.
Yes.
And then you texted me 3 times.
Yeah, exactly.
To which I didn't reply.
That's right.
Should have texted me a 4th time.
Yeah, should have.
Good to be here.
Hmm. Well, thanks, Hughie.
Oh, God, I've pissed off Lakey. Looks like Hughie's got a problem.
Yeah, Lizzie in Brisbane on 133353. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How do you do your Milo?
I do my son's Milo every night, or my husband does. We used to do protein shakes, and then he just loved the taste of Milo, and he'd rather that. So we get a Gatorade bottle, an empty, clean one, goes through the dishwasher every night. Mm. You put maybe 4 or 5 big tablespoons in the bottom and maybe a dash of water and then just get that going. Tip it up with a whole lot of milk, full cream, stick in about 4 or 5 ice cubes and we shakey, shakey, shakey. And he takes that up to bed and by the time he's ready to go to bed at about, 8 o'clock or whatever, he just slams down his Milo.
Yeah, nice.
And it addicts his protein. He's a 16-year-old boy.
Growing bones, growing muscles.
Oh, yeah. He's like, working out, playing AFL, and he prefers that over a protein shake.
Yeah, great. And 133353, tell me about your boring teen another time. But it does sound great. And,
hey, tell him about leopard.
I'm just having a joke. So there is a lot of play here. And I love that the gender roles have switched because too long us men have been suppressed into not being able to make the Milo for our sons and daughters. It was my mum giving me Milo. Her mum gave her Milo, partly because her mum's mum gave her mum Milo. I like that dad's giving the Milo. The water...
Oh, my husband usually makes it most of the time.
Yeah, no, exactly what I'm saying. And all of a sudden you've got all these different bits going inside the Gatorade bottle and it's inspiring me, to be honest, to go home to my Gatorade bottle and make a small hole about 3/4 of the way down, stick a piece of tubing through it and then pour some icy cold Milo into the bottom this weekend. Chris in Victoria, hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good. How do you do your Milo?
Mate, I add just a touch of boiling water. Mm. Just enough to melt it a little bit, and then I fill it up with full cream milk. Ooh. You get no lumps, no chunky, mate. Straight down.
Wow, controversial.
Mm.
Hughie likes it. You are straying away from the chunks and the powders. I know no bounds with my Milo and almost choking to death on the powder. I'm pretty sure I still have some form of silicosis of the lungs from my 9-year-old Milo days. You want it all dissolved.
Yeah, all dissolved, mate. Straight down.
Big.
Ice cold. Can't go wrong, I reckon.
Yeah, bust that glass Milo ceiling, I say. Anthony, in Werribee, wrap this up. How do you do your Milo?
Danny, how are you?
Good, thank you. How do you do your Milo?
The only way to have it on toast.
Yeah, the only way. I mean, why the Milo tin doesn't just have a photo of a piece of bread with
exactly
the Milo
right.
scattered over it?
Mix it with the butter, let it all melt into a nice paste, and you're good for days.
Low GI fairy bread. Very nice.
Mm.
Company sells wet jeans that make you look like you wet yourself. A US company called Wet Pants Denim, WPD, has launched a range of jeans that make it appear as if you've had a little accident. They say celebrities, influencers, and everyday individuals alike are feigning incontinence in search of the wet pants look. Are they? Here at Wet Pants Denim, we're delivering an identical style without the need to feel uncomfortable. Our jeans are individually procured for each order and hand-dyed, ensuring that every pair is one of a kind. We also make hats. Okay, sign up. Hey, guys, should we do like a very niche sort of jean that looks like you pissed yourself? But just to take the edge off, we'll just sell some random hats as well on the website. Everyone down with that?
The jeans come in three different styles and colours, with customers able to choose between blue, grey and white, which comes with a particularly sharp yellow stain. See, for me, I could probably do with a nice blue pair of jeans with that dark shading or a grey pair, but I think white with just yellow over the top, making everyone think that you've pissed yourself and had four Baroccas that morning. A little too on the nose for me personally. If this is a little bit out of your budget, fear not. Wet pants, denim have got you covered. Quite literally. Instead of buying a pair of the company's jeans, you can just send in your own. And they'll have the team work their magic for $30 instead. In an effort to reach a wider customer base and do our part to reduce textile pollution, they said, we're happy to provide our iconic aesthetic on a pair of jeans that you already own at a fraction of the cost. Once you've chosen your items, you can then pay for them in something called piss coins. Oh, getting on the crypto bandwagon now. Many hats. Sadly, however, these items are only available in the US, and the company states that any international orders will be cancelled. Fear not, though, because when Danny Lakey reads a good idea, Danny Lakey turns it into a localised great idea.
Here at Shit Yourself Jeans, we've launched a new range of denim that makes it look like you've had a big f***ing accident. Celebrities, influencers and everyday individuals alike are searching for that loose fecal incontinence with the I just sharted look. Here at Shit Yourself Jeans, we're delivering an identical style without the need to feel like you've sat in a patch of barbecue sauce. Our jeans are individually procured for each order and hand-dyed, ensuring that every pair is one of a kind. We also make hats! The jeans come in three different styles and colours, with customers able to choose between brown, yellow and swamp green, which comes with a particular sharp trace of bloodstain. But if this is a little bit out of your budget, fear not. Shit Yourself Jeans have got you covered. Quite literally. Instead of buying a pair of the company's jeans, you can send in your own and have the team work their magic and you pay half price. In an effort to reach a wider customer base and do our part to reduce textile pollution, we're happy to provide our iconic aesthetic on a pair of jeans that you already own at a fraction of the cost by just dyeing them ourselves.
So then for what you pay me 12 rupees an hour to sit here and drink kale and laxative smoothies then?
Shh, keep slurping, young man. Available for $75 to be paid in Aussie dollars or our new cryptocurrency, Shitcoin.
Phrases. Impress me with your phrases.
Phrases. Full as a fairy's phone book, for God's sake.
Indeed, a great phrase makes the world go round. A great phrase can get yourself out of a sticky situation, which is why it's important for us as a show, as a collective, to keep a dossier. Sorry, I just grabbed my dossier here of all the great phrases that have been mentioned on the Danny Lakey Show. A revolving top 40. Phrases will come, phrases will go. The cream will rise to the top. The great phrases will feature in the top 10. The pretty good phrases will be between 10 and 30. And the okay phrases, no doubt, will be between 30 and 40, remembering that there are many phrases beneath this. And just because your phrase doesn't get in the top 40 doesn't mean it's a great, not a great phrase. Don't get upset. Don't be crying over spilt milk. This is just now the creme de la creme of phrases. Now, loves the scrum. Cindy has called in from Brisbane. Good evening, loves the scrum.
Good evening, Daddy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Send my regards to the love of your life, the scrum, obviously.
I will.
And unfortunately, I'm not sure if you heard the news, but we did let you go of the Miracle Multi Crew, and the following week, we then won thousands of dollars with the Miracle Multi Crew. Were you aware of this? Were you listening to this?
I'm still crying, Danny. I'm still crying.
Yeah, I know. And I did float the idea of saying more unlucky than loves the scrum Cindy in the Miracle Multi Crew. But
what a phrase!
I thought it'd be too much, too soon, too much, too severe. But what's the phrase, loves the scrum?
As useful or as useless as a limp dick on a wedding night.
Well, we've got it. We've got to take one. We can't just be throwing in, useful or useless. Let's get to the bottom of this. You've got a limp penis. You've got a flaccid penis, a non-erect penis on a wedding night.
Useless.
Yeah, useless. Lock in useless, guys. Yeah.
Useless.
Well, Cam Fraser, our men's sex coach, may beg to differ because he thinks you can do a lot of good with a flaccid penis. But let's stick with the phrases of as useless as a limp dick on a wedding night. Now, as a horny wife yourself, as a horny bride on her honeymoon, you are very much in the mood to
definitely.
Sex and with a hard penis. And facts are facts. If the husband has had too many beers at the reception, all of a sudden, it's time to pay his dues later on that night. Sometimes he doesn't have a Camagra jelly in his leather Mossimo wallet. We don't all have the luxury of Viagra on tap.
So it is very useless. It's embarrassing as well. Do you call out a fresh husband if this is the case? Do you let him know about it? Do you say, hey, this won't be happening again? By the way, this is your one chance.
Well, you cut your fingernails and do it yourself then, don't you?
Whoa, holy hell.
What a phrase.
All the women are, yeah, sister, preach, yeah, trim those fingers, babe. You get yours. Fair enough, get yours. Look, I do like it. It is very useless. I'm just going through it in my just got a lot of my dossier here. I'm just trying to find if there's any more useless or useful things, and the highest ranking one so far of the useful or useless. What we did have was as useless as a pap smear from Edward Scissorhands. So this is not only useless, but also on the sexual nature as well. I think we can all agree Edward Scissorhands has no place in the gynecology industry.
Definitely not near me anyway.
No, I mean, it's just there's a little less edge coming from a female. Facts are facts. So I like that. Loves the scrum, Cindy. I think it's better than that. I think it's more useless than an ashtray is handy on a motorbike. So it's going number 12 tonight.
What a phrase.
Love our work.
Love her work. Yeah, I bet the scrum does as well. Just hold there. Warren in Sydney, hello.
G'day, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Good, thank you. What's the phrase?
Mate, busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger with an itchy arse.
Oh. What a phrase.
So we have heard a lot about the one-armed wallpaper hangers over the time. They're a busy breed. We know this. It's a very busy occupation.
You wouldn't get a lot done, that's for sure.
You wouldn't get a lot done. And you're still getting the jobs. That's the thing. When people call you up in the yellow pages, as long as you haven't advertised that you've only got one arm, they're none the wiser. They're still expecting the same amount of output as a two-armed wallpaper hanger.
This is true. You turn up for the quote and you don't have an itchy arse, you could get the job.
Now, I think we're all across that a one-armed wallpaper hanger with an itchy arse is much busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad. This much is true. What we need to now focus our attention to, though, is the number 7 spot. Ian's phrase, busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger with crabs. So I'm
really?
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to all the times that I had an itchy arse, and I'm thinking back to all those times that I had pubic lice, and what was getting more itch. And
Were these together? Did you have them together?
Thankfully not. Always
you'd
one of the
same. You'd get nothing done. You'd get nothing done if you had both.
You would have nothing done. And that's partly why I pulled out of my my painter's apprenticeship halfway through, because I realised it wasn't for me. But when I do have pubic lice, I make sure that I also buy some handy wet wipes to make sure that I don't get itchy arse at the same time.
Well, this is true. So when you're quitting, basically with the crabs and the itchy arse, basically you had to stop all that and just put your hand up and say, I'm out.
Exactly. And I'll move to the radio industry and I'll get someone else to push the buttons for me whilst I'm just pushing my own pubic buttons and my ass hairs. Now, it's not as busy as the crabs. We know this. We've all had itchy arse. We've all had pubic lice. It's going to go probably top 15 tonight, just above busier than a one-legged tap dancer in an ass-kicking competition, because that's not as busy, so not bad.
What a phrase!
Mark in Eaton's Hills, hello.
There you go, mate.
Good, thank you. You've got a phrase?
Yeah, when I've had too much to eat, I pull out the, I'm as full as a public school.
What a phrase!
I like that. I like a man who's just rubbing his own tummy. He's giving it a good hot crack. He's eating all of the cooking. And then just a couple of words to set the scene for the night. It's going to be a lazy evening. There might be a movie on in the background. Kids, don't play up, because I'm as full as a public school and I'm not dealing with your shit now that I'm in my food coma. So I like this. I like the imagery you've painted. I also like that it's just a little swipe towards the government-funded education system. We can't all be in our ivory towers with 25 students to a class down at the grammar school. So I'm going to go top 12 tonight. Is it better than I've done more dumb things than Paul Kelly? Yeah, I think it is. It's number 11.
What a phrase.
Nice. Good stuff. Greg from Brisbane, wrap this up on 133353. What's your phrase?
They promise you the world and give you an atlas.
Okay.
What a phrase.
They promise you the world, but they give you an atlas. Who is this in particular? Anyone?
What's that?
Is it a certain cohort of people who do this?
Politicians,
yeah.
Bosses?
They promise me the world. The only qualm I have with this is that I've never received an atlas from either the Liberal or the Labor Party. I know it's a figure of speech, but there has to be a certain amount of realism here. You promise the world, you've given me an atlas, and it's a slither of the real deal. I like the political stance that you've shown. I like that you've broken the mold. It's not softer than a pensioner's turd. I mean, it's not busier than a one-armed bricklayer hanging wallpaper who's developed anal crabs. But it is something. I think it's better than couldn't get a root in a brothel from Cindy. That's number 18. I don't even know how that's gone up that high. Obviously, a brain snap from me live on the air once upon a time. It's better than crazier than a sewer house rat on heat. Wouldn't have thought so. So it's going to be number 17 tonight by all means. Great phrase. So these are some phrases that we've all just spoken about. So that's always good fun.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Thousands sign a petition demanding Jeff Bezos buys and eats the Mona Lisa. I like that. The people have spoken, Jeff Bezos. We demand that you not only purchase the world's most expensive and impressive painting, but we also demand that you eat that painting. Do something worthwhile with your millions, Bezos. Over 5,000 people so far, me included, want to see Bezos purchase the iconic Leonardo da Vinci piece and then chow down on it at the time of writing. This is building. This has got a lot of momentum behind it now. I encourage you to sign the petition. If there's one petition that you focus your energy on this year, may it please be for Jeff Bezos to purchase Da Vinci's Mona Lisa and then also eat Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. Although it was launched last year, the petition, it's only recently started gathering steam. It reads, "Nobody's eaten the Mona Lisa, and we feel Jeff Bezos needs to take a stand and make this happen." Rightly so. Fair enough. If not Bezos, who? The painting is owned by the French government and is on display at the Louvre in Paris. Yeah, big old shit show that thing is. I was very excited about the Mona Lisa. I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to getting in that room, watching Mona Lisa look at me from the left. Then I go to the right-hand corner of the room. Mona Lisa still eyeing me off, looking up and down, liking what she sees, checking out my sultry pins, see if Mona Lisa licks her lips when she stares at my bum. Didn't happen. It's also a tiny little painting. It must be smaller than an A4 size piece of paper. You think it's this massive thing. You go in there like, oh, excuse me, I'm here to see the Mona Lisa. Where's the Mona Lisa? Like, yeah, just there. Here's a magnifying glass and you can look at that painting from about 5 meters back whilst the security guard stares you down, making sure that you don't come at it with an axe. Moving along. The painting has no official value estimate, but last year, French tech boss Stéphane Distinguin suggested the country could sell it for 50 billion euros to help out with the costs caused by the pandemic. Yeah, coronavirus. So if Jeff Bezos could just buy the Da Vinci Mona Lisa and eat it, please.
After this COVID thing, like traffic is getting so bad.
Which I love as a concept. For 100 years into the future, when they'll look back at our society in the annals of time, they'll teach in the history books in high schools. There was this big pandemic around 2020, 2021. Yeah, the world was in all sorts until the owner of an online shopping website ate a painting and saved the day. I mean, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? If hypothetically, we knew that we would get out of the whole coronavirus pandemic and it would essentially be a reset, but Jeff Bezos did need to eat the Mona Lisa, would we as a society force him to do it? Danny
Lakey. Triple M.